I pledge myself to the service of Ghana with all my strength and with all my heart. I promise to hold in high esteem our heritage won for us through the blood and toil of our fathers. And I pledge myself in all things to uphold and defend the good name of Ghana. So help me God.
The time is 6 o'clock. This is Radio Ghana, the news presented by Samuel Issa. In the headlines, Electoral Commission sets March 24 for the commencement of biometric registration exercise. NUGS urges government to revert to four-year senior high school system, but government says it is committed to the three-year option. EP Church inaugurates investment fund to expand its revenue base. European Commission to assist Ghana with 52 million euros to help reduce maternal mortality. 24-hour curfew imposed on Niger State of Nigeria. U.S. immigration officials arrest 50 people over fraud said to be one of the largest. And Black Stars final list for Nations Cup tournament out. First, a summary by Ibrahim Kwate.
The biometric registration exercise is set to begin from March 24 to May 12 this year. The nationwide exercise by the Electoral Commission will take place at over 6,000 centers throughout the country with the involvement of 45,000 officials. To ensure a smooth take-off, the EC will take delivery of 7,000 biometric registration kits and backup materials between the 17th of this month and February 15. The president of the National Union of Ghana Students, NUGS, Peter Koji, has asked government to revert to the four-year senior high school system. Speaking on Behind the News, Mr. Koji indicated that the call has become necessary because of the better results produced by students of the four-year system. In a reaction, the Minister of Education, Betty Moldejrisu, insists that government has committed itself to the three-year system to enable it compete with the sub-region. The moderator of the General Assembly of the Evangelical Presbyterian Church, Right Reverend Francis Aminu, has urged Ghanaians to refrain from politicizing investments initiated by governments. Speaking at the inauguration of a management board for the newly instituted Evangelical Presbyterian Moderators Investment Fund, Right Reverend Aminu said such acts do not augur well for the development of the country. The European Commission has decided to give Ghana an additional support of 52 million euros to reduce maternal mortality to enable the country achieve Millennium Development Goal 5. A press statement by the EU in Accra said the support is necessary in view of the danger maternal mortality poses to the country's development. A 24-hour curfew has been imposed in the Niger State of Nigeria after a crowd of youth went on the rampage, setting fire to buildings and cars. The trouble in the state capital, Minna, came on the third day of strikes nationwide against government's decision to end fuel subsidies. And the acts of Stars coach Goran Stevanovic have eventually fallen on Globe Premier League leading scorer Emmanuel Bafor and Reigns defender Derek Asamoah as the Serbian trainer named his 23-month squad for the 2012 Nations Cup. The pair will, however, remain on standby until on the eve of the start of the tournament.
Radio Ghana News, bringing you fair, accurate, regional and global news. We are social.
The news in detail. The Electoral Commission is set to begin the biometric registration exercise from March 24 to May 12 this year. The nationwide exercise will take place at over 6,000 centers involving more than 45,000 officials. As part of the technical preparation, the EC will take delivery of 7,000 biometric registration kits and backup materials between the 17th of this month and February 15th. The Ministry of Finance and Economic Planning and the Ghana Revenue Authority have given the EC a 6-month tax exemption for the importation of all necessary equipment. Currently, officials of STL, the company that won the bid as vendor for the biometric registration, is training its core technicians, who will also train registration supervisors from the EC and others who will carry out the registration and subsequent usage of the system. The Functional Executive Committee of the NDC has warned that it has not mandated anybody to meet parliamentary aspirants of the party to coerce some of them to step down. The Deputy General Secretary of the party in charge of operations, George Lawson, stated this in an interview with the GNA in Accra. Mr. Lawson asked people with parliamentary ambitions to attend to calls only from the constituency, regional and national executives, and go ahead with their campaigns freely without intimidation. He asked that interested candidates organize clean campaigns devoid of vulgar language at the constituency, regional and national levels. The Deputy General Secretary said the NDC wants credible parliamentary candidates who will win their constituencies and bring on board enough votes to ensure the re-election of President John Evans Atta Mills to continue with his Better Ghana agenda and improve upon the living conditions of Ghanaians. The Tema West Constituency Vice Chairman of the NDC, Samson Kofi Eshen, has asked high-ranking members of the party to strengthen its structures at the grassroots to make them more formidable to ensure a resounding victory for the NDC in the December elections. Mr. Eshen made the appeal in an interaction with journalists at Sakumono. He asked the leaders to address concerns of party members at the grassroots, adding that NDC victory depends on their activities. Station advised party members to bury their differences and support the parliamentary candidate for the constituency to enable him wrest the seat from the NPP. He appealed to the Tema Metropolitan Assembly and the Tema Development Corporation not to undertake demolition exercises that would worsen the plight of residents. The president of the National Union of Ghana Students, NUGS, Peter Koje, says government should revert to the four-year senior high school system. According to him, the four-year system has produced better results than the three-year system. Mr. Koje spoke to Ibrahim Asare.
The National Union of Ghana Students takes the position that government should revert to the 4 years immediately for the following reason. One, if you look at the superior performance we've had, it's been so phenomenal that even the loudest critics of the 4 year policy have lauded the performance of the first batch of the 4 year group. You'd have over 70% pass as compared to the previous performance of that hovered around 30-something%. So clearly you realize that there's been a 100% increase in the number of students who passed. And so in the face of such compelling evidence, one would think that once the policy has yielded fruit, the government would be humble enough to eat the humble pie and revert to a system. I mean, fine, we all understand that it's part of the manifesto of the NDC, and that's how come probably there is every incentive to stick to it. But you realize that beyond the statistics too, beyond the students having passed, there is this dire and grave danger that we stand to face in 2013 if we don't look at reversing the system. And by the crisis, I mean this. You realize that in order to revert back to the 3 years, the Form 3s and the Form 4s will have to rise concurrently.
NUGS President Peter Kodie. In reaction, the Minister of Education, Mrs. Betty Modibisu, indicated that though the four-year program is the easier option, government has committed itself to the three-year system to enable it to compete with the sub-region.
The easiest thing is to continue with the 4 years. The more difficult option is what this government has committed itself to do, to provide access to quality education. In doing so, we have already revised the syllabus. We are procuring textbooks for the three-year syllabus. We are training teachers. We are doing continuing training. And we are in the process of providing a logistics which would ensure that our children get access to quality education. Challenges are there, and I think that these challenges are multifaceted and require a dynamic approach by all of our stakeholders in education delivery. I will say it again, easier said than done. Let us have a four-year system, easier said. Having the three 3-year system is the most logical and conformist way to go about it. In the whole of West Africa, why is Ghana the aberration in the whole of West Africa in the sub-region? Every other country has a 3-year system. We must meet the challenges squarely and face them and be able to actually deliver on our promise. The country is facing growing pressure from admission, but we must meet up to the challenges. Stop burying our heads in the sand. We cannot afford this 4-year system. We cannot afford the luxury of spreading out education in this way. We must be able to compete with what is happening in the sub-region.
Minister of Education, Betty Moody-Grisu. Participants and panelists at the ongoing New Year School at the University of Ghana, Legon, have called for a review of the country's tax law to maximize revenue, especially in the oil and gas sector. They said the current tax regime makes it easy for expatriate firms and foreign workers to evade tax. The Vice President of Ghana Oil and Gas Service Providers Association is one of the panelists at the Forum on Ghana's Local Content Policy Issues Emerging. There is a report by Yaya Kwamwa and Benjamin Eje Boateng.
The Vice President of the Ghana Oil and Gas Service Providers Association, Edwin Van Otu, said there is revenue leakage to the country in terms of tax evasion. According to him, most expatriate firms engage workers who work for less than 30 days and change hands with others because the revenue law does not tax people who have not worked up to 30 days. Mr. Van Otu called for equity in the operation of the industry between local and foreigners. He challenged the Ministry of Energy to take the lead in ensuring that preference is given to local companies to operate in the sector. Mr. Van Otu disclosed that more discoveries are yet to be made, hence the need to take advantage now to build the expertise of Ghanaians to play major roles in the sector in future. This, he noted, needs courageous leadership.
We need a leader. A leader that can resist the invisible hand. A united people to support the leader. The law that permits foreigners to work for 30 days in Ghana without paying income tax, in my estimation, should be reduced. All foreigners working onshore or offshore should be required to obtain work permits at the sea and also pay social security as done in the developed world. Ghanaians with requisite or equivalent qualifications and experience to be paid the same wage or salary as the foreign counterpart.
Mr. Van also challenged the leadership of the country to take a cursory glance at how the country gains less from the mining sector and other mineral deposits to reposition the country not to repeat the same thing. He called on the GNPC to identify and make available opportunities to the Association of Industries. The Executive Director of the Association of Ghana Industries, Chum Akwaboa, said the lack of awareness of opportunities in the oil sector has prevented small medium enterprises from participating in the sector. He said information on the sector should be made readily available for maximum participation.
That was a report by Yaya Kwamwa and Benjamin Eje Boateng. The moderator of the General Assembly of the Evangelical Presbyterian Church, Right Reverend Francis Aminu, has urged Ghanaians to desist from politicizing investments being initiated by governments, noting that such acts do not augur for sustainable progress of the country. He observed that over the years, major infrastructural projects have suffered severe setbacks at the detriment of the taxpayer due to the failure of successive governments to complete them. Reverend Aminu was speaking in Accra at the inauguration of a management board for the newly instituted Evangelical Presbyterian Moderate Church Investment Fund. We bring you a news desk report.
The Evangelical Presbyterian Church at its third General Assembly session held in August last year instituted a fund dubbed EP Church Moderators Fund. The purpose of setting up the fund is to strengthen the revenue base of the church to support its development projects, including the EP University College, health institutions and revamping of the agriculture and fisheries projects, as well as generate employment for the youth. The initiative has become necessary in view of the dwindling financial support from the church's foreign partners. The 7-member board tasked to manage the fund is chaired by Major General Henry Ayuduho, a conflict management consultant. Other members included Frank Damali, former managing director of Guinness Ghana Limited, Prosper Komlache, a business executive Executive, Reverend Edem Azaku, a Chartered Accountant, Raymond Okujetu, President of Volta Foundation, Togbe Owusu, a Civil Engineer and Chief of Hofiave, and Charity Dumeku, a Senior Accountant at the University of Ghana, Lagos.
The news desk report. Four Chinese have appeared before the Takrady Circuit Court B for allegedly possessing mercury without license and illegal mining. Their pleas were not taken and were remanded to reappear on the 7th of next month. Prosecuting Assistant Superintendent of Police Richard Borte said the Western Regional Police received information that some foreigners and local people were engaged in illegal mining activities at Wasekropong. He said on the 21st of last month, a joint team of police and military launched an operation at Wasekropong to bring those involved in illegal mining to book. ASP Borte said the accused persons were arrested during the operation and a number of items were seized at the mining sites and their permanent places of abode. ASP Borte said the accused claimed ownership of the items and after further investigations, they were charged. This news comes to you from Radio Ghana, Accra. The major stories. Electoral Commission sets March 24 for the commencement of biometric registration exercise. NUGS urges government to revert to four-year senior high school system, but government says it is committed to the three-year option. EP Church inaugurates investment fund to help expand its revenue base. European Commission to assist Ghana with 52 million euros to help reduce maternal mortality. 24-hour curfew imposed on Niger State of Nigeria. U.S. immigration officials arrest 50 people over fraud, said to be one of the largest. And Black Stars final list for Nations Cup tournament out. Please stay tuned.
Radio Ghana News, bringing you fair, accurate, regional and global news. We are social.
A divisional officer of the Ghana National Fire Service, Roy Aloyito, has appealed to the public to ensure that they implement the appropriate strategies to help prevent the emergence of fires. He said the best thing to do is to prevent fire from occurring and ensure that people are well versed in controlling the emergence of fires. Mr. Aloyito said this at a workshop on fire prevention for some stakeholders of the Ghana Airports Company Limited, airline representatives, as well as passengers at the Kutuka International Airport. He demonstrated to the participants how to properly use a fire extinguisher. Mr. Aloyito said fire extinguishers are only meant to be used to put out initial fires, and so firefighters must be called in if the fire moves beyond its initial stages. He said other methods such as smothering the fire with a wet blanket or a bucket of sand could be used to put out the fire in its initial stages. Mr. Aloyito appealed to the public to keep their gas cylinders outside their rooms to prevent fire outbreaks, adding that it is important that LPG cylinders are changed when the expiry dates are due to prevent any fire outbreak. Participants were taught how to handle emergency cases, like helping someone who is choking, performing cardiopulmonary resuscitation, and how to stop bleeding. Members of the Association of Past Broadcasters, GASBROAD, have been asked to contribute towards improving on the fortunes of the GBC. The call was made by the Director General of the GBC, Beth Yapenting, in an interaction with the Greater Accra Regional Branch of GASBROAD at their monthly meeting at the GBC Clubhouse in Accra. Mr. Penting observed that for majority of the members who spent most of their working life at the GBC, the corporation had committed substantial investments in them by way of training, both locally and abroad. He said in order to meet the challenges ahead and during his tenure of office, he would attempt to harness their experience and expertise alongside the knowledge of the current crop of staff. Mr. Penting said he would therefore maintain an open-door policy in this effort to enable the national broadcaster to play an enviable role in the national development effort. His visit coincided with the first general meeting of the year for the Greater Accra branch. The principal human resource and administrative officer of the GNPC, Edward Apia Brafo, says the corporation will establish a fabrication yard in partnership with the private sector next year. As he said, will provide job opportunities for the youth and serve as an avenue for training, skills development, and provide procurement services to oil and gas companies in the country. Appiah Brafo announced this when he addressed participants at the ongoing 63rd annual New Year School. The European Commission says with effect from this year, it will give additional support of 52 million euros to Ghana to help reduce maternal mortality and achieve the Millennium Development Goal 5 target. A press statement by the EU in Accra said the project was selected because it aims to deliver concrete results by reducing maternal mortality and improving healthcare services. An international front, the Nigerian authorities have imposed a 24-hour curfew in Niger State after a crowd of youth went on the rampage, setting fire to buildings and cars. The trouble in the state capital, Mina, came on the third day of nationwide strikes against the government's decision to end fuel subsidies. Trade unions representing Nigerian oil workers have threatened to boost the strike by shutting down oil production. Nigeria is Africa's biggest oil exporter, but it imports petrol. Many poverty-stricken Nigerians see subsidized fuel as the only benefit they get from their country's oil wealth. 50 people have been held over one of the largest fraud cases investigated by U.S. immigration officials involving alleged Puerto Rican identity theft. The accused conspired to sell the identities of thousands of Puerto Ricans to legal immigrants. U.S. authorities say legal documents were sold for as much as $2,500 per person. Hundreds of birth certificates, social security numbers, and driver's licenses were bought since 2009. A tip-off from police in the U.S. state of Illinois prompted an almost two-year-long undercover operation known as Island Express. The 50 suspects have each been charged with conspiracy to commit identification fraud, which carries a sentence of up to 15 years in prison. A frog species that appears to be the world's smallest has been discovered in Papua New Guinea by a U.S.-based team. At 7 millimeters long, Hydroprine amoenensis may be the world's smallest vertebrate, the group that includes mammals, fish, birds, and amphibians. The researchers also found a slightly larger relative, Pedophrine swiftorum. Presenting the new species in PLOS ONE journal, they suggest the frog's tiny scale is linked to their habitat in leaf litter on the forest floor. The researchers said it was not an easy assignment to find the frogs, as they are well camouflaged among leaves on the forest floor and have evolved cells resembling those of insects, making them hard to spot. A Mississippi judge has blocked the release of 21 inmates granted reprieve by the outgoing governor in a move that has sparked outrage in the state. In his final days in office as Republican governor, Haley Barbour gave clemency to more than 200 people, including convicted murderers. But Mississippi's attorney general challenged the pardons, saying they may have violated the state's constitution. Mr. Barbour, who is a two-term former governor, said his intentions have been misunderstood. He said 189 of the inmates who benefited from the clemency had already completed their prison terms. Japan says it will take concrete steps to reduce its dependency on Iran for oil. The finance minister, Jun Azumi, announced this after he met U.S. Treasury Secretary Timothy Geithner in Tokyo. Mr. Geithner is seeking backing from China and Japan for stricter sanctions on Iran's oil industry in a bid to curb Tehran's nuclear ambitions. Japan is the second biggest customer for Iranian oil and has already urged Gulf Arab countries to increase their exports to make up for any shortfall. The volume of trade between Ghana and Turkey grew from $175 million in 2010 to $448 million last year. The two countries have also signed a number of agreements which are expected to increase the volume of trade to $1 billion by 2015. The outgoing Turkish ambassador to Ghana, Kina Tepedelen, said this when he called on President John Evans Atanas at the Castle Usu to bid him farewell after a two-year duty tour of the country.
The relations between the two countries have been steadily developing. I think this is attainable, Your Excellency, and we are well embarked on that way. On the political level, we are enjoying excellent relations. I think that the visit of our president last year in March was also a historical event. At that occasion, 5 agreements were signed, and during the second Joint Economic Commission meeting, 2 new agreements have been signed. That means that while we had only 1 agreement in force between our 2 countries by early 2010, 7 new agreements have been added to the already existing legal infrastructure. So, Your Excellency, at the eve of my departure, I would like to express to Your Excellency my deepest gratitude for the support extended by the members of your government to our embassy and the mark of friendship and confidence which has been shown to us.
Outgoing Turkish Ambassador to Ghana, Kina Tepedelin. President Knowles said the enhanced relations between Ghana and Turkey have powered the way for Ghanaian businessmen to enter into joint partnership with their Turkish counterparts. Ghana is therefore looking forward to opening an embassy in Istanbul, describing it as a strategic move.
We very much value our relations with our brothers and sisters from Turkey, and it is quite clear from the progress, you know, which we have been able to make, that our relationship has the potential of growing stronger and stronger with the passing years. We cherish it because we know we have a lot to learn from one another. The Turkish economy is also growing at a very fast rate and beginning to attract attention from all over. I'm happy that Ghanaian businessmen are getting attracted to business in Turkey and are also forming partnership with their Turkish counterparts. We look forward, you know, to opening an embassy also in Turkey. I think that it's only logical that we do so to reciprocate, you know, the rather good gesture on your part. We believe that it is a strategic move that we need to make. But I must commend you on the way you have represented your country, the way you have performed your duty and brought our two countries together.
President Mills. A state prosecutor has been fatally shot in a courtroom in the southern German state of Bavaria. Reports say the gunman, a 54-year-old defendant in a case at the Chau Administrative Court, opened fire first at the judge before shooting the prosecutor. The prosecutor was hit 3 times in the arm, stomach and shoulder and taken to hospital where he later died. The defendant was overpowered and taken into custody. It is believed he was accused of improper payment of wages. Security at German courts has been tightened in recent years because of several earlier attacks on judges and prosecutors. We'll be back after this break.
Radio Ghana News, bringing you fair, accurate, regional and global news. We are total.
The rest of the news, football. Blue Premier League's leading scorer Emmanuel Bafour and Rennes defender Derek Asamoah have fallen casualty to the axe of Black Stars coach Goran Stevanovic after the Serbian trainer named his 23-man squad for the 2012 Nations Cup without the duo. The list announced yesterday, just in time to meet the 12 midnight deadline, included injured and trusted striker Asamoah Gyan, who is expected to return to full fitness just at the start of the January 21 to February 27 tournament in Gabon and Equatorial Guinea. The pair of Bafour and Asamoah will, however, remain on standby until on the eve of the start of the tournament. According to the tournament regulations, an injured player among the squad list could be replaced. Players who made the list are goalkeepers Adam Kwarasi, Daniel Eji, and Ernest Silva. Defenders are Samuel Lincoln, John Pinto, Daniel Opari, Masoud Al-Hassan, Lee Adi, John Boy, John Mensah, Jonathan Mensah, and Isaac Vossa. Midfielders, Charles Techi, Emmanuel Ajumanbedu, Kwajua Samoah, Suleiman Tari, and Andre Ayew. Meanwhile, Ghana will play Kaizer Chiefs and Platinum Stars of South Africa in the build-up to the Nations Cup before traveling to Fansville in Gabon on the 20th of this month. And then you the main points again. The biometric registration exercise is set to begin from March 24 to May 12 this year. The nationwide exercise by the Electoral Commission will take place at over 6,000 centers throughout the country with the involvement of 45,000 officials. The president of the National Union of Ghana Students, NUGS, Peter Koji, has asked government to revert to the four-year senior high school system. Speaking on Behind the News, Mr. Koji indicated that the call has become necessary because of the better results produced by students of the four-year system. And a 24-hour curfew has been imposed in the Niger state of Nigeria after a crowd of youths went on the rampage, setting fire to buildings and cars. The news was presented by Samuel Efa in Accra.